I'm Daniel Frey, and this is the DanielFrey.me Talks, a podcast for anyone who wants to become or is already a developer. If you like to stay up to date with different technologies, learn from experts in the field, and help you improve your career further, then this podcast is for you. I also invite you to follow us on DanielFrey.me. So let's begin. So hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode here at DanielFrey.me Talks. And today we're going to be talking about how to become a senior developer. Now, I think that this topic has been around your mind probably at the beginning of your career and maybe now even. And today we're going to be trying to answer that. Now, I'm not going to be sitting alone, of course. Today is going to be joining to me Patrick. He is going to introduce himself in just a second. Yeah, stay tuned. Let's start.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Patrick. I'm a team lead in a company that's called Cloudinary. We deal with end-to-end media management for large-scale enterprises. Mm-hmm. I've been in Cloudinary for a couple of years now, total in the industry as a developer for around 7 years, give or take.
Nice. So you would call yourself that you're a senior developer?
Well, I would call myself a developer. I accidentally manage a team right now, so a team lead manager. If I were a developer, I would personally call myself a senior developer. Yes, whatever that means, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this is what we're going to explore today, right? So I prepared a few questions for you, and we're going to dive into the world of seniority and what does that mean. Now, we know, of course, that everybody has a different interpretation to this topic, and it can be very sensitive. But let's try and see what we can come up with. So, obviously, I heard your lecture the other, 2 weeks ago or so, about what is a senior developer. And from those, from this lecture, I come up with some, questions. And I think we can start with the most basic question. And is it, what is actually a senior developer?
So that's you were in the lecture, so I guess, spoiler alert, the output of that lecture is, it's complicated. What is a senior developer? I think like any good theory, you need to test it at the extreme, right? You take a person and then you take like one specific skill and then you push it all the way to the extreme, good or bad, and then see how you feel about that. So if you have a senior person in mind and you say, well, let's take myself and let's push the extreme. Let's say my technical know-how. Is this enough? Like if I only change this attribute, is this something that turns me into a senior? Now, some people might say yes, some people might say no. Mm-hmm. And this, I believe, is based on, the personal bias of what that person believes a senior is.
Right.
So if you're a people person, you might say that seniority, is all about the people and educating people, right, and mentoring people. And maybe if you're more of a manager, type, you would say, well, you need to be responsible and you need to be, on top of your project. And if you're maybe a good individual contributor, you might say you need to be more technical, and to solve the more difficult problems. So this depends. Right. Again, it's complicated.
So from what I understand from you is that a senior developer is something that can be basically labelized in different, everybody can interpret it differently. So for me, myself, I can say that I think that a senior developer should be a leader, should be also kind of have a thought for the future for the project. So they should know what is the coming up challenges that we're going to have for the next at least 6 months or so. So they're going to take and be in charge for a project from A to B. For me, let's say if you're a junior, you're just I'm fixing a bug now. I'm working on and if you're a mid-year developer, you're working on a feature and then that's it. I just know until when that goes live and that's it. But then, yeah, I'm really interested because, we have all those labelized, but is there something that we can come up with, like we can say industry standard for what is a senior developer? Is there such thing existing?
Well, that really, really depends this is more of an industry, as you said, an industry standard, and the standard comes from the industry. And what is the industry? It's a collection of companies. And what are companies? It's a collection of people. So eventually we have this collection of people that are, you know, independently deciding what is a senior developer. So for some companies, this means a certain amount of experience. You need to have 4 years before you can call yourself a senior. And then no matter what you know, after 4 years, you are automatically a senior. So that's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is saying that you need to have a certain amount of experience within the company, or maybe within a certain niche, and so on and so forth. So to answer your question, yes, I think there is an industry standard, but I think it's more localized. It's not industry, it's company. So if you're working for places like Facebook and Google, they will have their own standards of what it means to be a senior. And well, in a very obvious way, it's not a single Boolean field is senior. They usually have degrees of seniority. So even this simple label in some companies is actually broken down into a whole scale of seniority. So your question, is there industry standard? I think if I have to put things, you know, into numbers, then I'm guessing experience right now is the number one go-to. It's rare to see someone being years labeled as a senior, getting someone with less than 4 years to be considered a senior in companies is very rare. It is possible, but it's rare. So that's the number one, you know, criteria, I guess.
Thank you for that. And, you know, following on that, I'm also wondering, because teaching upon the pace, like salary thing, let's say, you know, I'm living in the Netherlands and the average of a senior developer is around, you know, starting at 70K a year, euros. And the maximum, they say 90K, they can be even higher. But let's say somebody right now out there is earning this amount of salary now, and they're being, you know, into a job, not necessarily that company is calling them a senior developer, but should you call yourself a senior developer if you're getting paid like a senior?
That's a very, very, very good question. First of all, let's talk about this label. We're saying, we've said it a lot of times already, right? Will you call yourself a senior? Will someone else call you a senior?
Right.
And this label, either self-put or put by others, it's just that. It's a label, right? Should you call yourself whatever based on something? That's a very personal question. I would say no. If you would ask me, like, I would say no. I would ask myself, am I comfortable being paid this much given my knowledge and experience? I wouldn't use that salary number to justify this or that label, because we can extend your question and say, and what if you're paid like an architect? Will you call yourself an architect just because you're paid at that level? And I think most of us will agree that no, well, that salary doesn't automatically give you those labels.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I'm still curious because, you know, you're at that salary scale, and yeah, indeed, if you're an architect, if you're getting paid like an architect, that's a different thing, but still you're working as a developer and now you're thinking, you know, I have those salary scales and the company believes in me and that's why they pay me this amount of money. Otherwise, then they wouldn't pay me that amount of money because they don't believe in me, right? They wouldn't give you that opportunity. But still, it's like you don't really know then when to call yourself that that title. And so then my next question is coming is, so what does it take to become a senior developer?
Okay, so your question is specifically for those specific skills that you mentioned. And it's important to note that those are, you know, specifically for you. Some people might consider seniority different, as you said.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think I'll start with a general answer and then, you know, drill down to your specifics. Because the general answer, I think, is, first of all, some self-reflection. Like, what do you think a senior is? So you gave a few properties of a senior.
Right.
And then it helps a lot when you work in a team that has people that you consider senior, you know, ignore the external labels, people that you internally believe are seniors. Working alone is much more difficult because you don't have that, you know, that mirror, that other person that you can say, okay, that person is a senior and I want to be like him.
Right.
If you ask me, the first step is to find a team to grow in that has people that you consider, you know, that level of seniority. The next step is to, again, self-reflect and consider, what do they have that I don't? Why do I consider them seniors? And why do I consider myself a junior or whatever label? And then try to, you know, bridge the gap. Why is that person a senior? Why? Does he know more JavaScript than me? Is that it? If I know more JavaScript, will that bridge the gap? Or is it his calmness? Maybe he's very calm when you come with a problem and he doesn't freak out and he can help you calmly to solve your issue. Or maybe he knows to ask you the right questions. Like, how does he know to ask me, did I check this or that? So this now comes down to your specifics, right? Okay, I want to be more technical maybe. Mm-hmm. I had to know better JavaScript, or again, you said leadership and you said mentoring. Those are very, very different skills. So you need to tackle them one by one, obviously. So let's talk about technical. What do we consider a senior, like most of us when we think of it? We think of a person that we can come to with any problem and he will magically know the answer. So that's the vibe, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, seniors don't know everything, but they have this certain calmness to them. Let's say that when you come with a very vague problem, they will very slowly try to break it apart to its simplest form. Let's start with that. So you come to a senior with 300 lines of code that aren't working, and, well, he tells you, I can't help you. You have 300 lines of code that aren't working. But if you come with 10 lines, he will tell you exactly where the problem is, or probably will tell you where the problem is. And if you can't get to that from 300 lines to 10 lines, he will help you. He will tell you what to check next to boil down the problem into a simple form. Technical-wise, we're talking about two skills that I mentioned here. First, the basic knowledge, fundamentals, as you said. Know the language. If you're going to work in any language, JavaScript, for example, you should know how the basics work. And when we're saying basics, we mean actually the language constructs, its promises, its functions, it's all that good stuff, context that people maybe skip. Because React has a lot of built-ins, right? So you don't need to know all of that. So
yeah, exactly.
So really, really the basics. So that's the language. So when you encounter some weird promise, you don't need to go to a senior for help. Because you are a senior, you already know how that works.
Right.
The second skill is about problem solving. Given a problem you've never seen before, hint, as a senior, you'll have many of those.
Right.
You need to know how to break it down to something simpler so you can actually tackle the problem and not be alarmed by, oh my God, nothing is working, my life is ruined, you know, that type of mentality.
Right.
So that's technical. I just gave two steps about technical. There are other things you can do to improve your technical skills, but improving your problem solving, which is reflecting on problems you solve and just consider how you did that. How did you solve them and what works for you? And again, basics, fundamentals.
So from what I hear from you, just to summarize so far, first of all, the seniority level is very psychological. So it's like you have to bridge kind of the psychological blocker. And then you are into the zone of being a senior. And it seems like you need to do like a kind of mindset shift, which is makes sense. And first of all, you know, I just try to distinguish between, you know, the psychological change that you need to make and actually the actionable, the action that like on the surface level that you actually need to change. Like, for example, I can say, you know, I want to be a senior developer. I changed the mind shift. Now I'm a senior developer. Now I will act like fake it until I make it, kind of, right?
Yeah.
But then I still need to, like, you know, on the surface, if I don't know enough JavaScript, I still need to go on to the JavaScript and like, you know, pick up on what I don't know. And that is like facts, that it doesn't matter how much you change your
mindset,
you know, your mindset on either. This is just a fact. And now who can be your mirror to show you facts? Now, That's also the point, right? How do you get, then, my next question, how do you get those facts in front of you? Who will tell you? Let's say you, okay, now you work in a team. That's easier then. So let's say you work in a team. How do you then ask feedback from people to get facts?
So very, very good point. First of all, let's talk about working solo, because I think working solo is the toughest part. A lot of people are working for the first job, you know, in a startup as their own, you know, their own enterprise of developers, a single guy doing everything.
Yeah.
And then you work there for a year. And I've seen people working in a startup after a year who are excellent. And I've seen people working after a year who don't know a lot of anything, because they solved a very niche problem for that startup. So I think the first step, as you said, is try not to work alone, especially when you're just starting out. You need those other people. You need that, you know, support from the group.
A
thing about mentality is that when you go to a senior to ask for help, you don't expect him to say, well, we need to call another guy. No, when you ask for help from a senior, your expectation is that you will get your help from that person. When you set up on, you know, a mindset, I think that's part of it. It's not a checklist, obviously, but if you have a problem and you're saying, well, I should ask someone for help. But if you're in a senior mindset, you're saying, no, I should know this. This is something I should know. And you start asking less and less help because you're in this mindset that you should already know these things.
Right.
Now, obviously, there's a thin line between claiming or expecting from yourself to know everything and never asking for help. Mm-hmm. But if you have a basic problem with promises, you know, you should know that as a senior. You shouldn't ask for help. Now, right. If you keep asking for help, you will keep your mental state in that you're a person that needs help with promises because it's tough. But if you change your mindset, you can say, no, I'm a senior. I should know this. This doesn't answer your question, though, because your question was, how do we get feedback? Okay, I'm in a company. I'm working in a team. I'm working in a group. How do I know if, you know, how do I ask for people? Tell me, where are my blind spots? What don't
exactly.
I know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the main, for me itself, I'm talking personally, for me, it was a lot of, it was two things, basically. One, looking at seniors and then, you know, trying to assess, like, the first thing that happened to me, something clicked for me. It's like, there's a senior developer here, and someone asked him a question, not even me, and he didn't know the answer. And he started debugging it. And while he was doing it, I was listening, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I would do. And in the moment that, you know, I got that feeling that, yes, that's what I would do, but wait, he's a senior and I'm a junior and I would do exactly the same thing. Mm. And that made me more aware of what are they doing that I'm not. And first of all, is there any difference now, you know, after a couple of years of experience? Mm-hmm. And then I started, you know, to really notice, again, no actual feedback was given, but I used the group as, you know, as an some form of you know, echolocation. I would listen to see what they know, what they do that I don't, and it helped me, you know, get my bearings of, if that person is a senior, he doesn't know, you know, some niche thing, that's great. That means that I don't have to know that to be that person, and that really helped me narrow it down to a few basic things that I think the technical aspect is not the main part of it, actually.
Mm-hmm. So what actually is then a senior for you, in your opinion? How does it go? Because I shared my personal perspective on a senior. Now, of course, I'm curious to you, and maybe you can share, like, at your job, what do you guys look at as a senior, maybe?
So I'm going to, within each company seniority, even within each team, seniority can be considered different. So
right.
I can only answer personally.
Okay, you should go for personal.
So personally, it's very personal, obviously, but for me, it starts with responsibility. And when I say responsibility, it starts from simple things like a person answering emails, because you can be a great technical person, but if you don't answer emails when people need you and you don't respond in time, then you become a chore to work with. Yeah, you know a lot, but I don't want to reach out to him because it's going to be a whole thing. I'm going to send him an email. He won't come back. I'm going to go to his cubicle, assuming we work in an office, and he's going to tell me not now. And it's going to be not fun working with him. So great, he's a senior, but I don't want to work with him.
Yeah, I cannot communicate to him, right? Nobody, he's not reachable. He's not coming to meetings.
Exactly, exactly. So responsibility, availability, it kind of talks about communication skills, but, you know, first of all, be present, like be responsible, understand that you have people depending on you. People right. need your knowledge. People need your seniority.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, that's one of the key pillars. You can have everything else. If you don't have this, personally, for me, that's an issue, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is, and this depends, varies greatly, the ability to manage projects. And when we say manage projects, first of all, you know, all the developers, you know, they retract a bit in their chairs. Like, I'm not a project manager. I shouldn't be able to manage projects. We have people for that. And that's true. But you still need to have an understanding of what is a project. Like you said, for you, a senior is a leader that can see 6 months ahead. To see 6 months ahead, you need to see 3 months ahead first, right? You need to see what's coming next in order to see what's coming after that. And that's a skill. And I've met many, many senior people senior developers, senior people is a bit different. senior developers who are very great, you know, they can solve a very complex project or a very complicated, you know, small use case. But if you give them something more complicated, they kind of, you know, lose focus. Now, this for me is an important skill, but it's not something that if you don't have it, you're not a senior. So it's very important. If you ask me, it's on the gradient of seniority. You can start being a senior without this skill, but as you move, you know, more to the right of this gradient, then you need the skill.
Yeah.
So those are two things: responsibility and, you know, some form of project management. Communication is the last one. For me, like you said, the ability to, you might have great ideas as a senior, but if you can't communicate them, if you can't convince others that you know better, and many times you do know better, but if you can't communicate that, if you come out as arrogant, if you come out, you know, as know-it-all, obnoxious, your great ideas are worth nothing. So those are the three skills that I really, really value in a senior developer.
Right. So I didn't notice that you didn't mention really the technical aspect, right?
Yeah, I didn't mention the technical aspect because the base level for me is, as we said, language fundamentals. Even when we hire, we never, especially for the front end, we never even require like React or Angular or stuff like that. Yeah. Even for senior developers, we usually just want, you know, be good, like be good as a person, be communicative, be responsible, know your basics, know what promises are, right? That's the very, very minimal thing for us. But a lot of weight is put on other things as well, not just your ability to solve a promise.
Exactly. And I was lately thinking about it, like also like, you know, seniority, and you can go ahead and memorize, right, all the things about JavaScript fundamentals and how everything works, and maybe it's already deep down in your memory, and you remember it, and that is, yeah, it's, I would just say it's something that you can always learn, and I mean, you need to have those fundamentals indeed, because you need to be able to, somebody, a junior, comes to you and asks those questions, and then you will be able to explain it to themselves, and work on that. But yeah, I really like that you mentioned those three important things. For me, it's the same. I mean, after all, we kind of, like, I think for us, at least, me and you, we have, I would say, almost this, yeah, it's just the same, you know, characteristics that we're looking at in a senior developer. And, you know, I was also, as I was wondering, you know, as we're going and talking about the subject, like, can actually be a situation where you have everybody as seniors, right? Let's say you're, and also, is it a good thing, right? You're, because you're training, for example, I would say a company, their idea is that, you know, you start as a junior maybe, or you're maybe, you know, I also didn't notice that you mentioned the media developer. Does even such thing exist? But maybe we can come up to that later. But like, So you're starting as a junior and then you're becoming a senior, and then more and more people in the company consider themselves seniors because they are always looking to one person, right? Because they're always taking the example from him. Oh my God, I want to become like him. And then eventually they become like him. And let's say they stay in the company also for that long to actually become that senior. And then everybody around you are seniors. Now, is that a good thing actually? Like, because you stop learning, I think, also from each other, because you're just all the same. And then, yeah, well, is, first of all, can it be a situation like this? And then if it is a situation like that in your company, and you recognize it, what should you do?
You're embodying a fear of, I want to say a fear, you know, that juniors have. And that fear is, I always want to be in a place where I have someone to learn from. That's the basics of it, right? I started with saying you should be in a group, right? So you can learn from the group. And then as you move along and you learn more and more, a lot of the reasons people, you know, I've heard at least a few, I don't know a lot, but I know a few people that left companies because they wanted to have someone to learn from. Like some people said, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. Like I want to be, to be sure that there's someone else that can challenge me, that can say that, I'm wrong or whatever. So should you leave a company, you know, because of that? It's a very problematic question. It depends greatly on, you know, your position, what you know, how you feel about yourself, the company, the team, and so on and so forth. It will happen though. You will reach a point where, you know, everyone is pretty much, you know, give or take, technical wise, the same. But people are not the same. You will have the more responsible senior that, look at him, he manages to, you know, keep track of everything. How does he do it? He has like 5 different projects running and he answers everyone on Slack. And yeah, we know the same amount of JavaScript and we can deal with the same, you know, singular project, but he does something different. Again, not technical wise, but he manages himself different. Now, I have my own skills. I can write a better regex. I can maybe, I know some better, you know, low-level languages maybe. Again, different levels of seniority. I'm a database expert maybe. But you will always have someone to learn from, even if it's not specifically about a technical aspect. And that's the thing that juniors keep in mind a lot. I want to have someone to learn from. But they keep putting a focus on the technical side, and they're not really stopping and thinking, okay, what are the soft skills I'm missing?
Right.
What are the managerial skills I'm missing?
You know, these days they call soft skills, but let's just stop calling these soft skills. I think those are actually hard skills. Like, yeah. They always think, I don't know why it's being called like soft skills, because communication, being a team member, like being a leader, you know, all those things that we were mentioning, they're not soft. They're like actually hard to think about and do, right? Like communication is always important. And then yet people always seem to be like, when they're in an argument, must be a miscommunication there or something like that.
Yeah, so it's actually funny because I think that I'm a bit of a mathematics geek, so there's all sorts of types of infinity. Okay, one of the types of infinity is an enumerable or countable infinity. Say all the real numbers are countable, like 1, 2, 3, right? You can count in theory if you had an infinite amount of time. So I think for developers, maybe all the skills that are countable are considered hard skills, and all the skills that are not countable are soft skills. And I'll give an example. If I tell you need to be an expert in JavaScript, I can give you a list of things to do. Now, this list might be very, very long, but by the time you finish it, you will know JavaScript at a certain level that we decide.
Yeah.
And this is an enumerable list. You can go over the list, iterate one by one, and at the end, congratulations, you know whatever it is you know. Soft skills are a bit more trickier, because if I say improve your communication skills, there is no list. There's
right.
Nothing you can enumerate over. And then when you're done, you can say you have better communication skills.
I mean,
so,
yeah.
I think that's the difference for me, at least, between, you know, soft and hard skills.
I really love how you put it out there. It's exactly like that. I mean, how are you being judged by the end of the day? You know, when you ask for feedback, was I being communicative good? Is it if everybody in the room at the end of the day got the information delivered, how are they feeling about like the way you delivered it? And feeling is something that you cannot, it's not mathematical. It's not, it's just human, you know, nature feeling that you cannot really, you know, you can somehow psychologically, you know, manipulate people and say in a way that they are going to be more compassionate about what you're saying. And there are a lot of different tricks and things like that. But at the end of the day, humans, they're not really predictable in that sense, right? On the, what they're going to feel later on. Because now I can feel really confident and really good about what you were saying. But then an hour later, I'm going to think about it. And then I'm going to be like, actually, that doesn't really make me feel really good. And I'm changing my mind. So just like you explained, it's something that you cannot really predict and learn. It's not mathematics and things like, you know, you have an this ordered list and just follow it one by one.
Yeah, so when I said about soft skills and you lashed out at me, that, we call them, yeah, I completely agree. First of all, those are the harder skills. It's very, very difficult to master. In my experience, and to my opinion, I think it's harder to master those skills than to master, you know, some random checklist of, you know, JavaScript or databases or whatever. Definitely, yeah. How do you keep track of how to give feedback as a senior? Someone junior does a mistake and you need to give feedback. Do you give feedback?
How?
That's
tell
something
me.
That exactly. Tell me how. What's the checklist? How do I give a good feedback? And you know, there are tricks, like you said. Like you start with something good, then you say something bad, and then you finish with something good, right? That's the sandwich trick or whatever.
Yeah.
But in reality, the reality is not that simple, because some people take criticism, you know, in a very personal way, and some people take it harder.
Yeah.
And some people don't care. You need to actually get to them to make them understand why this criticism is important. Those are difficult skills. Now, again, no checklist here. it's as we started the conversation, it's complicated.
But how do you do it, Patrick? How do you give feedback?
That's a very, very difficult. Again, it's a personal question because my answer, you know, if you do the exact same thing, you might blow an engine, right? So something will actually horribly fail for you. By the way, if I will do it like you do, which works for you maybe, and I will try to implement it, then, you know, something will break for me because it's a very, very personal process.
But you know why I'm asking it? It's not that I also recommend that people who listen to this don't try to copy any of those methods. Try, first of all, what works for you. But I do think that when you have a reference to go to and an example, it can help them. That's why I'm asking it.
So whenever I give feedback, I first of all try to lay out the objective. What did we even try to do? Like before talking about what went wrong, let's say...
What problem are we trying to solve?
Exactly. Like, okay, let's say Well, let's give a fake problem. Okay, the problem was that we wanted to deliver something by the end of May, and it's now the end of June, and we haven't finished yet. Okay, so let's say I want to give feedback to the person that managed the project. Let's talk about it. Okay, so first of all, what was the objective? Okay, to release by the end of May. Okay, do we know why we missed the deadline? First of all, do we have an intuition why that happened?
The developers.
So obviously the developers, right? But, you know, you could say that, let's say, everything went backwards from day one. Okay. Why do we only know about it now? Mm-hmm. So the question is now the feedback is given in a series of questions. You never assume you know why things went wrong. That's for me, it's one of the key things, because the moment you assume you know why that person did something, then you're no longer giving feedback.
You're
now
judging them.
Exactly. You're just, you know, you're giving your arbitrary judgment that any other person would give a different judgment, and it's no way to learn from. Okay.
No. Also, no facts to look at, right?
Yeah, even if I know like a lot, I don't know everything, and I don't know what went in his mind when he made the decision, or I don't know what went through her mind when she decided to do this or that.
Yeah.
So first of all, assume you don't know why things went bad when you give this feedback.
All right.
Now start asking questions.
So first key takeaway, understand what happened, like, and understand what led that person to make that decision. And then on, what do you do then? You understood what happened. You know all the details, and maybe by the end of the time when you stopped asking all the questions, the person will already realize. Okay, but that is just an assumption. But does it work like that for you, Patrick?
So you ask the right questions in a way that either the person tells you, you know what, we should have done this differently, and we should have built that, you know, in reverse. So that's okay, great. Or the person says, you know what, I don't know what we should have done differently. So the person reaches to the point that they say, you know what, it didn't go as we expected. And I don't know what I could have done differently. So now you have an opening. Now you can say, you know what? Okay, I understand.
Fair enough.
I can give you my take how I would do it. And maybe we can learn from it for the next project and try to implement it. So you boil down the problem again to a very, very simple form that the person either, you know, sees the solution because it's so obvious, or maybe doesn't have the tool sets to see it. And now you chime in. Now you try to give your experience and your take. Mm-hmm.
And how do you give that take to not, and then in the same time, don't sound so arrogant, like my ways was probably better than yours and it would have worked better if you had just done that.
You try to avoid the word better, I guess. And you try to avoid the word, this is what you should have done. You usually lead a conversation in a very suggestive manner, not that kind of suggestive. You suggest solutions. You're saying, let me ask you, if we were to do this, would we be in a better spot right now? And the person might say, you know what? No, your idea, no, it won't work because ABC. Okay, great. Let's talk about ABC. And if we would do that different, would that solve ABC? And then you slowly try to break down the problem, because again, you're not in the details usually of what went wrong. You only know that the end result went, you know, not to your satisfaction. But even when you suggest, you need to leave room to, you know what, I have an idea, but I might be wrong. But, you know, let me hear what you think. And you work together to find a solution that makes sense. Again, you don't always know everything. Sometimes right. You need to tell that, you know what, I was going to give you feedback, but you're absolutely right. I mean, given all the things you told me, I have no feedback. I mean, things went bad for very, very good reasons, like bad reasons, but for very understandable reasons. You know, right. Things happen.
Yeah. And that is actually another point that I'm wondering, because you need to be in a position where people ask from you feedback. Is that when you feel that you're doing your job good, like as a senior, or do you just go to people and give them feedback because you'll say, I probably could have done it better. Now I'm just going to give you some feedback. Like,
so it depends on team culture and, you know, company culture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So in Cloudinary, you're very, very open about feedback. And every team has, you know, retrospective part of the agile process. And in this, you know, retrospective phase, people are very open. And you will have seniors telling you, look, I see that this sprint didn't go too well for you. What could we have done better? Now, always talking plural, right? Because it's not the individual person's fault. Something went wrong, either in the team communication, maybe the reviews took too long or whatever.
Yeah.
So seniors will ask at that point, like, what could we have done better? Even in projects that are not unrelated to them. And it's a very open environment and people kind of expect it, you know, kind of to be there.
So don't make it about one person. And try to always, you know, put it out as a team effort. We're all working towards the same goal. And even if you think that maybe there is somebody in the team that is problematic, you probably shouldn't mention it in the team meeting, but maybe to them in person. What do you think about that?
I'm going to restructure your answer. Okay. First of all, get it to be part of your culture. Feedback is a cultural thing. So get it to be part of your, if it's not in your company's culture, get it to be in your team's culture. Mm-hmm. Like if you're, let's say junior, senior, doesn't matter labels. And you're saying, look, I think things are not going too well. And I think we can improve a lot of things. Let's start having, you know, feedback sessions. I want to hear what people think. I want to share my thoughts and I want to be open and frank about it. Like I don't want to push people. I want to do it in a very supportive way. So right. culture-wise, that's the key thing. Obviously, when you try to cultivate this culture, you don't make it about a single person, and you never put people in the corner, and you give people the benefit of the doubt that maybe they do know what they're doing and things went bad for good reasons. And regarding individual feedback, that depends greatly on your position in the team, your chemistry and your rapport with your team members, and that person that you're giving feedback to. Let's say it's a person you never talk to. Probably, you know, you won't go to him personally and saying, look, I think you could have done better. And again, that's not how you give feedback anyway, right? But, yeah. but you need to have some basic relationship to start a conversation with, hey, Matt, you know, I want to hear more about your project. I heard it went, you know, it didn't go too well. Can you share, you know, what went on? Like, I'm not giving feedback. I'm collecting information. Again, part of this process is understanding the problem. And only later, once you understand, then maybe when the person shared enough, you can maybe try to suggest a few things. And again, it's a suggestion and not a feedback, as in you should have done this differently.
Yeah, actually, the other day I was reading an article that says that they tried a method in their company, and they worked in a lot of different companies, and they said that feedback was not one of the things that actually worked to make people and companies in general better. Like, the form of feedback was like, you know, I'm going to start good, then I'm going to give you some other things, and then later on, that's it. But it didn't really trigger actions, like, that people actually changed later on and realized. And what they described there, and I wanted to hear your opinion about it, is that they were more saying what the people are good at and try to highlight, you're really good in this, and I really like that you did that. And then just instead of, you know, trying to see what the persons are not good at, highlight what they're really good at, and then, you know, driving on that, that will drive them to also do maybe their job better.
I think this depends on what kind of feedback you're referring to, because what we talked so far was very short-term feedback, like a project went well, a sprint didn't go as planned, stuff like that, right? Very, very short-term things. Yeah. The other aspect of feedback is part of, you know, yearly reviews, that when you manage people, you need to, you know, talk to the people and give feedback in a different way, right? So this is a different kind of feedback that seniors usually are not expected to give. It's usually more in the managerial track that you would give, you know, quarterly or biannually reviews to people. And that's a different form of feedback.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. And I think that can be a whole different episode, even talking about this subject of feedback and giving, because, you know, I myself, as a developer, I feel like a lot of times the managers, at least at the company that I work at, I know every company else, you know, they have it differently, but managers are at the high level sitting there, and they're not really going down below to actually know how the engineers are working. And of course, you're in the team member, you're a senior developer, you know, whatever, you know how people work, and you for sure have some feedback for them. And then you're not a manager, you're not supposed to give them that specifically, but you still have some things to say to them that you think that really genuinely help them. And then, yeah, how do you do that? What do you do about that? But probably we shouldn't be talking about this now. It can just be a different episode.
I'll only say that it's very important to not go too far from your company's culture. And if you want to reintroduce new things like giving feedback, you need to make sure that your company is supportive of that. And like in my company, I can say, yes, I can go to any person within the company all the way up to the CEO and, you know, give feedback of something. I will need to be very concrete about that feedback and not saying I think we're doing wrong. But maybe your company doesn't foster that. And if you go to the CEO and tell, hey, I have some feedback, he'll tell you, great, now move. So it really depends on your company. I wouldn't want to suggest something that will get people fired like in other companies.
Yeah, exactly. But let's try not to fire people.
Yeah.
Okay, but getting on back on the topic of the senior development and the whole thing. So what kind of, how long does it take actually to become a senior, you think? Like, I mean, years, you know, let's start with years, but then actually let's, and then later on you can mention Yeah. I mean, the other skills that we were thinking about, because, you know, always, I think people want to put always a timeline or something, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how
yeah.
long shall I think that I can really become a senior and start, you know, doing things and consider myself as a senior? Now, I know it's subjective. We probably already know that.
Yeah.
But yeah. What do you think?
Again, I'm a huge geek, so I'll give you two geeky examples.
Right.
When you're playing some RPG game, right, you have levels and you start with basic skills. And then when you get to a certain level, you get to unlock, you know, new skills and new features of your character. I think as a developer, if you put it on a timeline, let's say you can use your first, you know, 6 to 12 months to get the technical side, you know, boiled down. You can use the initial time to really, really finish your, you know, knowing everything you need to know about the language. And that means, you know, putting a lot of effort into the language basics, the constructs, the fundamentals, not necessarily algorithmic, you know, problems, like find, you know, the most efficient way to, you know, loop over an array or whatever. Not necessarily that, but, you know all your array functions, know all the context and all the good stuff in JavaScript, for example. Okay. So I would use the first year, you know, to do that. And now moving forward, you can say, okay, I got the technical side down. What else do I need? So we're going back to what each person thinks a senior is. And then you're saying, okay, I think I need to know more about project, for example. I want to see more into the future. Right now I'm seeing sprint by sprint. I want to see the bigger picture. So now you can, you know, schedule a meeting with your, you know, with your manager and saying, I'm curious, like, where are we going in the next 6 months or a year? And then try to, you know, help yourself see how do the things we do right now, you know, correlate to that 6 months roadmap. Now, be advised that in a lot of companies, what we want to do in 6 months and what we actually do in 6 months are usually very, very different. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but try to connect your day-to-day work to some, you know, greater scale of things. Is it if it's about responsibility, as I said, like, how do you develop work habits that make sure you reach every email, you reach every Slack, and people are not like, hey, I reached out, but you never answered. So these are very subjective things, as we said, about what we think seniors are. But that's the second year. That's how I would invest the second year in improve the communication within the organization and improve my ability to see how my work relates to a greater scope. And then in the third year, you can pretty much wrap it up and say, okay, now I'm a senior, quote unquote, because I'm starting to help others in the team. I'm 2 years in the company already. I can give my feedback in a very secure way. I'm very self-assured that I know that my feedback is correct. People ask me for advice. I feel better about myself, you know, all that good stuff. And then you can, you know, theoretically call yourself a senior at this point.
But that is then company specific, or can you also then when you go to another company and you being hired as a senior, let's say?
Yeah.
Then.
So those are two different tracks. Like when you come for as a junior, you can say, this is the track I want to take. But then you switch companies and now you're being hired as a senior.
Yeah.
Now you don't have those 3 years. Now you are a senior. So you don't have time to finish up on your, you know, fundamentals. You should know the fundamentals by now.
Right.
You should have some understanding of project management and you should, you know, be responsive at this point and, you know, have your responsibility built up.
Yeah.
So those are different tracks. How do you embed yourself in a company as a senior once you already reach that level?
Like
and
that.
How you grow within a company. That's different.
Nice. Yeah. I think this is a really practical guide for people who want to start, right? And because we're running out of time, but I do have like those two final questions about should one consider themselves a media developer? Because you didn't really mention that, like also in your talks and anything. And I was just curious, like, why don't you mention media developer?
To be honest, I don't. I don't even believe in seniority, right? So that's a social construct. In my book, there's no medium developer. There's no junior developer. There's a fresh developer just finished school or something like that.
Yeah.
But once you finished your school and you're in the journey, it's a journey. There's no end goal of being a senior and you're done, right?
Right. It's continuous learning.
Exactly. It's an ever-going process. So I never talk about medium because I don't even believe in senior. I think it's one label with a wide gradient of, you know, possibilities.
Yeah. So then this whole episode is useless if you don't believe in senior.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, the point of my lecture as well.
Yeah, I get you. No, but at least we have a label, right? We're people. We have to put a label on something. Otherwise, we don't understand it. So I guess that's our way of understanding this, let's say, the final level that you can reach. And then later on, you're just, you know, continuously learning. And, you know, maybe we can finish up with what are the pros and cons of being a senior. But for me, it seems like no matter what, the more you progress and let's say you're somebody that wants to progress in your career, you're going to become a senior eventually, right? The more companies you switch, let's say the more experience you gain. And the pros and cons are, you know, speaking for themselves, I guess, maybe, because, you know, I would say the pros are, you know, you have more responsibility, but this is what you also want if you want to progress in your career. You know more. I don't know if that's a pros or not. but what can I say? I mean, I think it's just, for me at least, that's my end goal. I don't really have any cons from that. Do you have anything that you think that can be a con from becoming a senior?
So this is very personal, but there are several cons depending on what you think a senior is. So for the starters, a senior developer develops less, writes less code because he has other responsibilities. Now, the thing you love to do as a junior, suddenly you're doing less and less of it as a senior, right? So that's the first
point taken.
Second thing, expectations. You know, if you're a junior and you make a mistake, people might say, okay, he's learning. As a senior, people are already expecting you to know stuff. Now, obviously, you can't know everything, but the level of expectation is different. We're saying, look, you have 5 years of experience. We expect more from someone like that. So those are really like the major cons, so to speak. Again, it depends what your goals are, if there are cons or not.
I like that. You know, I think like that we are, we're done. It was like a really interesting talk, and we spoke about different things, like how to become a developer, how long does it take, pros and cons we just finished with. And it's, you know, from this whole talk, to summarize it, I think this is a very psychological thing, but then also some evident things that we already mentioned, that there are evidence that you need to work on and how you get it from feedback and et cetera, so I would say if you're trying to become a senior developer, you're going to get there. Don't rush into it too fast, but always get a mirror and dive deep in and ask yourself, what is a senior for me? Who can I look up to? And then basically become that person. And then later on, call yourself a senior and always ask for feedback from people and see how you're doing with it, and, you know, progress like that. So did I miss anything?
No, I think you went over everything. I'm going to leave you with one special quote I always like, that a Supreme judge in the US, back, I think it was the 70s, that says that he was judging about pornography in newsletters. And it says he needed to judge about if something is, you know, erotica or pornography. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you know what? I don't know how to label, you know, pornography, but I recognize it when I see it. And I think seniority is very, very similar to that.
I really, you took pornography and you made out of it something from a senior. That is, wow. Patrick, that was a good one. All right, guys, I hope you remember that. That's something I'm going to quote you on this article.
No problem.
Thank you for listening to the DanielFrey.me Talks. Get access to previous episodes, the transcript for today's show, as well as other exclusive content at DanielFrey.me.